this day today is a day, and this week is a week that is celebrated the world over. There's different religions, if you want to call them that, that do commemorate the death of Christ. I never really realized how big it was, I guess, until some years ago. I was in a prison service, and I was leading a Bible study group. And this Bible study group, we got together once a week, and it was in a federal prison up in Allenwood, which was right above us. And one evening we got there, we did Tuesday evening was church night. And so every Tuesday evening we went up. And one evening we got there, and they go, we sat down, before we got started, they asked us, or asked me, and another person, the other Mennonite guy that was there with me that evening, that the Mennonite means something, so just keep that in your back of your mind. And they said that we were invited over to another service this evening that had to do with commemorating Easter and this whole Holy Week. And it's like, okay. So we said, sure. I mean, these guys really wanted to go. Now, they were hoping to not hurt our feelings. So we went along over, and it was with the Catholics. And the Catholics, we had all kinds of religions there that were different religions and that would worship. But this religion was the Catholic Church. One of the things they did in this service, and I've never really did it, looked into it, but they actually had a part of their service that the Catholic Church does on, I believe, I'm not sure, like either today or one of these days of what they call the Holy Week. And as they talk about each one of the meetings of the Holy Week, we had a darkened room, and they started shutting lights off. They did this seven times, if I remember correctly. And at the death of Christ, and the whole service led up to the death of Christ, and they turned everything pitch black dark. And it was really kind of meaningful. I've never seen it put like that. It's a Holy Week. It is a week, it is a time in Christianity that we as Christians cannot bypass. Because without the death of Christ, our spiritual life does not exist. Turn with me to Luke 22. Also, I'm teaching or talking about nothing new this evening. So just go to Luke 22. And there's something that I was looking at that I want to kind of hit on towards the end. But we're going to be talking kind of the traditional talk about this evening and about the communion supper and where it came from and what it means. But there was a certain word or two words that really popped out at me as I looked over a bunch of the different scriptures that I had read on this communion supper. Luke 22, verse 14 through 20. And I'm going to actually be reading at this in the King James Version. I do have it up here in the New, or the NLT. I may talk out of that a little bit, but I really like the wording down in the King James Version. 22, verse 14 through 20. An hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 disciples with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not in any way any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among themselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God is come. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Go back to verse 15. I found this very interesting in verse 15. Now I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, the NLT. It says like this: I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. Why was he so eager? That caught my eye. Why? Why was he so eager to do this? Do I think that we should be eager to do this? Absolutely. This is a holy night. However, why was he so eager? And I kind of came to the conclusion of this. He knew it was his last meal with them. It was his farewell dinner. It was his, there's farewell that him sitting down and worshiping and spending time with the people he had just spent a couple years with. He got to know them pretty well every day. One time when I was young, we moved to Georgia. I was 13 years old. And they gave us a farewell supper, a farewell dinner. We had a time of singing. And never, I remember the kind of the vibe, if I may use that word, that went with that evening. It was one kind of a sadness. But we also knew that nothing was going to ever be the same again. And I remember it because of that. Did I look back on that with sadness? No. But this is why he was eager. He was looking forward to spending the last evening before his death with the people that he loved intimately. Verse 16 and 18, for I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And verse 18 says kind of the same thing. I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. This is a simple prophecy. This meal, the Passover meal, the communion meal that Jesus Christ did with his disciples, he will never do it again until we are all in his presence. This is going to be the communion that he has the next time. Verse 17. This is a really beautiful picture. Verse 17 and 19 is a beautiful picture of Christ having the meal with his disciples. He is doing what he did best, and that was called serving. Verse 19, let's go back up. When you look at what Christ was doing, when he stood in front of his disciples, the people that he loved, he took the bread and he broke it, and then he served them. And then also as the leader of their group, as the person that was, he was their savior. He also took the glass, I'm believing it was the pitcher, it was like the jar of wine, and he poured it out and then he said, pass it around. Sounds like a father. It's a beautiful picture of God again, God the Son, again serving his disciples. Verse 19. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he took bread and broke it. He said this, this is my body which is given for you. When God broke the bread for the 5,000, there was a never-ending supply until people were all fed. When his body is broken, it does the same thing spiritually for us. It was broken for our salvation. The bread that he has given is never ending. Go to verse 20. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. It is an agreement confirmed with my blood. The blood of bulls and goats was what they used to cover their blood, to cover their sins. The thing about the blood of Jesus Christ is, or the old covenant, the thing that they did when they covered the sacrificed animals, there had to be a blood sacrifice that pointed them forward to the ultimate sacrifice. Solomon, when he had when they consecrated the temple, it was the same thing. There were sacrifices that were given. 22,000 oxen or steers, 120,000 sheep. It was literal rivers of blood, but only a pointing towards or a foreshadowing of Jesus' blood. What I want to talk about probably the longest tonight is this whole thing of verse 20. I'll talk about the new covenant. It says, this cup is a new testament. And I'm going to look at the King James Version on this one. The old covenant is what I'm going to look at first. Before we get to the new testament, we have to understand, the new testament or the new covenant, we have to understand the old covenant. God made a promise with Israel. If you are obedient, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will punish you. The Mosaic Law is what we call this, and the Mosaic Law was designed for one thing. It was meant to show people their sinfulness and their need of a Savior. Kind of by design. It was designed that they had to know that they could not work out their salvation. They had to follow the rules, and somehow, us as human nature, we tend to break rules. We fall. We're broken people. We are broken. We're people full of rebellion. This is what happened. You could have done the law perfectly, but there was no saving power. Sinners were never saved by works. That took a perfect blood sacrifice. Remember in the Old Testament, their sacrifices were as a covering for their sins, but it was not a forgiveness for their sins. What I found interesting was the New Covenant. It talks about a New Testament. I like that word testament, but I want to look at that just in a little bit. A covenant is simply this. It is a written agreement or promise between two or more parties. The word testament, which King James Version uses, if you look back at the Greek or the Hebrew meaning of it, it means disposition. The word disposition is this. It is a legal term with the meaning of it is a final determination of a matter. After this new covenant, there will be no more covenants. This is the final covenant. The other thing that I find really interesting about this covenant is this. There's an other angle to it. And it talks about a final will and testament. What struck me is this. If you have a father or a mother that dies and leaves a will, what he leaves for you, or they leave for you in that will, you now own that. This is one of the main things that it's talking about the New Testament or this new disposition. God has written us through the blood of his Son. He has written us into his will. If we follow him, we repent, the blood of Christ washes you, you are now written into the will. This is why you cannot not see the face of God unless He gives you that right to be in His presence. This is done by the blood of His Son. Has to happen that way. You cannot be clean enough without that. What is the new covenant? Turn with me real quickly to Jeremiah 31. Very, very familiar scripture. Verse 31 through 33. This is the new covenant. This was being foreshadowed. Remember back, this is back in the time when they had rivers of animal blood trying to cover their sin, so they could actually point forward to when the blood of the Son of God Himself was going to wash and become the ultimate sacrifice and the final sacrifice. His final will and testament. This is the new covenant that Jesus Christ talked about in some of His last words on earth to His people. The day is coming when I will make a new covenant, there's that word again, a new covenant, with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I love them as the husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is a new covenant, and He is talking about us. This is what we are experiencing today. I will make with the people of Israel after those days, I will put my instructions deep within them. When something is deep within you, it is a part of you. It is a part of your blood. It is a part of your DNA. It is a part of you. And I will write them on their hearts. This is my favorite part. I will be their God, and they will be my people. There is your will and testament. That's the final word, the final will and testament. It is done by His body being broken and His blood being spilled at the final sacrifice, as the final sacrifice for our sins. Let's pray. Father God, we are talking about something that is so precious tonight. God, we're talking about the death of your Son. God, thank you so much that you loved us so much that you knew that for us to be in your will, in your final will, God, and have a right to be in your kingdom, that we had to be washed by the blood of your Son. Dear Jesus, we want to thank you too right now for being willing to come down to this earth. I'm only now starting to realize, God, that what for work that you have done. I do not appreciate you enough. And God, dear Jesus, I just pray that you would accept this thanks from us all. Dear Father God, be with this service tonight. Help a holiness and your Spirit to descend on this. And help us to just realize, and even in a very small way, the absolute wonderful work you have done through the death of your Son. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Glenn?